Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
This is really special because, okay, sometimes for Mother's Day, the pastor wants to take the week off. So we've switched off, you know. Some years for Mother's Day, I'm like wanting Pastor Matt to preach and tell everybody how to treat women well, you know, like tell them what's what, you know, give them good advice. And some years then, you know, I'll preach for Father's Day and give Pastor Matt the weekend off. But this year, I felt like it'd be kind of cool for us to hear from a really amazing woman who maybe doesn't want to preach sermons necessarily, but her life is such a beautiful testimony. Maria Bernardo Blinn turns 91 this fall, just a couple months away. She will be turning 91. Is that not amazing? And this woman is just beyond, beyond incredible. And so I have grown to really love her. I lean into her wisdom when she's talking. I listen closely. I pay attention to her patterns. What she says I do every day, I go, I'm going to take note of that. She says I eat a salad for lunch every day. I'm like, I'm going to do that. Noted. Just the little patterns I like to pay attention to because I see how it has sustained her. And we're continuing our series on Ruth. And Maria said, that's my favorite book of the Bible. That's my favorite. So to start with, Maria, what are a couple things about you that maybe somebody in the room might not know that's kind of interesting to know about you? Who are you?
This church for a long time, but before that, is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I got baptized by Pastor Norman in the beginning of 2000, because I felt the need to be baptized for the Holy Spirit to be on me. And it was amazing because my cousin decided to come back and get baptized at the same time. So we both got baptized that day. And it really, the Holy Spirit helped me. And also, I have to say that I've been in reading the Bible for a long, long before that, because when my husband died, that's what put me through in 1989, through all the grieving, and that I went to the Bible and I found comfort. Somehow I just opened the Bible and found the right scripture that comforted me. And after that, I was reading the Bible more and more, and I joined Bible study and everywhere I could go. And the matter of fact, across the street from our house was this couple that invited us to go. And both my husband and I bought this Bible, one each. And the Good News Bible. And we started learn, you know, that's how we got into the Bible, but he had to quit study because he had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work. And the study ended at 8:30. That was the earliest he could go to bed. But after that, I kept on studying, and when they moved away, the couple sold the house and moved to Redwood City. I went with this other couple that took me there, and I continued studying. And but after a while, the wife died, and the man, Mr. Jenkins, remarried and moved away to the other state where his wife was living. So I never had the chance to study anymore. I tried to go to, I asked the nun at St. Robert's if they had Bible study there. And she said, no, but we could have one. And well, we formed a few people, but I wasn't satisfied with the explanation. When we had questions, she didn't know exactly what to answer. So that was it. I didn't go anymore. But then when I was with Pastor Norman, thank God that he, yeah, he, I was invited by, to go to the picnic. That's how I started. That's how I started with
the
Pastor
church picnic,
Norman.
The church celebration.
It was right across from St. Robert's, where I used to go, and Alice. After that, I got baptized. Then Alice let me know that there was a Bible study at St. Robert's at St. Dunstan, mm-hmm. in the hall there was mother and daughter,
okay.
That were doing the study. And I went there. There was so many people joining us. Yes.
Now, how many grandkids do you have?
I have 8 grandchildren.
And
the first three, they're married. The only 3 that are married.
Okay.
And they had 2 each until March. Then the third one, the younger one, had another one. So I have 7 great-grandchildren.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Wow.
I was blessed. I felt so blessed. And I got to see the baby when he was 3 months old. 3 weeks old.
Oh, my goodness. That's so fun.
At Easter. Yeah,
yes.
Because he was born in the beginning of March. And I was holding him, talking to him, and he was smiling at me. I couldn't believe it.
3-week-old baby smiling? I don't believe it.
And opening his mouth that he wanted to talk.
Yeah.
I was amazed. It was so beautiful to see that. His mother took pictures and put them in with my phone, cell phone.
It.
So I have it there once in a while. I look at it. But anyway, that was such a joy to go and enjoy all of them. They were all there, all my great-grandchildren. And
I love that.
3 of my grandchildren, of course. The others were too far to come and...
Yeah, but you've got a big family. And the thing that's very interesting about Maria's life is I just see, like, all the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and all the blessings. But she's also been through some pain and some loss. Like, actually, 3 very significant losses in her life. Her first husband went to heaven suddenly when she was in her 50s.
56, yes.
Yeah. She lost her sister to a horrible car accident,
yes.
A few years after that. That's a major tragedy. And then she was blessed to be remarried for, what did you say, about 7 years that you were married, 6 years that you were married to Jean?
Yes.
About that,
not
yeah.
Not quite 6,
yeah.
But.
Yeah, and then he also passed away. So Maria's felt a lot of the ups and downs of life. And that's what I really appreciate about her, is that there is a depth to her and there's a steadfastness to her. And that's why I think she's such a great example for us. So last week, Pastor Matt opened up the book of Ruth, right? And he started in chapter 1. And for those of you that missed it, the situation with Ruth was that there was a family from Israel that was struggling because of the famine. So no food, right? And so because of that, this family escaped basically to Moab. They went to a place called Moab where there was food so they could survive. And while they were there, the sons, there were two sons, they ended up growing up and they got married to Moabite women because that was what was there. So they got married, but then tragedy strikes. And Ruth's father-in-law passes away. And then her husband passes away and also her brother-in-law. So there's a woman named Naomi. That's the matriarch of the family. So Naomi has lost her husband and her two sons. And what she's left with is her two daughters-in-law. And she's telling them, like, you know, there's nothing. I'm going to go back to Israel now. The famine is over. I'm going back to my home, right? She wanted to be, like, in the place that was familiar for her. But she told the daughters, she's like, you know what? You guys, you know, you're better off staying in Moab because you're from here. You can get new husbands. You can have a life. You can have a family. You don't have to stay with me, right? Yes. She was like, you can stay here.
You can go back to your family.
Yeah, go back to your families. That's fine. She's like, I'm not going to guilt you. You don't have to take care of me. And one of the daughters was like, sounds good. Good plan.
Yes, so she left and she blessed her. And Ruth said, no, I wanted to be with you. This is what touched me to see the dedication that she was so dedicated to her mother-in-law and to her God. She said, I wanted to worship your God. And that really, really taught that she was blessed.
Yeah. Do you have that verse in your translation? Do you know where that one is?
Let's see. Let me go. Yes.
Is that Ruth?
One day.
Ruth 2? What verse?
Ruth. It's 2.
Okay.
Verse 2.
Okay.
One day Ruth said to Naomi, let me go to the field. Oh, this was to gather
the grain.
No,
yeah.
It's not. Oh, yes. But Ruth answered, don't ask me to leave you. Mm-hmm. Let me go with you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Yeah. Wherever you die, I will die, and that is... there I will be buried. May the Lord's worst punishment come upon me, and I let anything but death separate me from you. So this how dedicated she was.
I think that you highlighted that, and I really appreciate that. She said, your God will be my God. And I never really heard it as clearly as when I was talking to Maria about it, and she was like, She converted. Because Moab had their own gods.
Yes.
She could have gone back to worshiping the false god. But there had been something that God had done in her heart while she was a part of that family where she was drawn to God inside of Naomi. And so the God of Israel, she says, that's going to be my God. And I want to serve him. And and that motivated her to really follow Naomi, right?
Yes. That's what was beautiful about the story.
It really is.
Yes. And that's why it was my favorite, especially this passage here.
Is your favorite,
it was
yeah.
my favorite,
yeah. Because when our heart turns toward God, everything changes. I think our choices are different because of that. When there's, like, when God comes in and he does a transformation in us and he pulls us toward him, then we make choices that probably wouldn't make sense otherwise,
you know,
to other people.
That's right.
You know, and, like, I think Pastor Matt even said last week, I mean, we're not faulting the other daughter-in-law for going back to her family, right? But there was something that Holy Spirit, I believe, like did something inside of Ruth. God was working on her and and drew her to himself. And so it's very interesting to see that, how, you know, Ruth has this encounter with God that draws her to follow this woman to an unknown land, to a place where they're not going to look too favorably on her. So the likelihood, I think Pastor Matt also touched on this last week, it wasn't very likely that she would get a husband in Israel, right? And so the way that they were living was actually in poverty. Like, they were not in a good situation. Yes, they were back in Naomi's homeland, but they were pretty destitute. And the culture and everything about life then was that being a woman without a husband meant that you didn't have anybody taking care of you, you didn't have any security, you would, you know, just really be lacking in pretty much every way possible. So Naomi and Ruth, they head into this situation where they're in major poverty, and but Ruth is like, okay, it's harvest time, I'm going to participate and do what I can, right? And so what she did was, it says in Ruth 2, verse 2, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean from among the ears of grain after Boaz, this relative of Naomi's husband, Boaz, and maybe in his sight I will find favor. So she says, go. So she gleaned in the field after the reapers. So what she was getting was the leftovers. You hear that? She was just taking the scraps. All right? I mean, this is like hunger, right, when you're going to go for the scraps. And you know what it's like. When you're super hungry, you're less picky about what you eat. But when you're not hungry, then you're really picky. All right, am I right? Okay, so that's the situation that Naomi and Ruth are in, just to paint that picture of how kind of desperate they were. So, I mean, we see that Ruth was really faithful to her mother-in-law. She does what has to be done. She rolls up her sleeves and does the work. She's not afraid of work. That's something I admire in you, too. You're not afraid to work.
No.
You don't sit around.
I never was.
So she's retired. She's almost 91. And what do you do during the day? Because when I showed up to see you this week, you were in the yard clipping the bushes.
I do a little gardening, a little cleaning the house, and a little cooking. And I keep going. I like to be busy. I like to crochet and just to keep busy. I don't like to waste time. I watch TV very little, only when I need to rest. I go there on the recliner because of my back and my sciatic, and I have to rest. So
once in a while, but she does. Since I've known her, she's done like the she'll go in the morning to swimming. She does stained glass right now. She says, "Oh, I'm going to the gym," or you know, all these things. And I'm like, "What? You're amazing." But beyond that, that's just like day-to-day stuff. But then beyond that, she does stuff like visits people that are sick, people who are kind of housebound or need a meal. Maria cooks them a meal and brings it to them. If somebody's lonely, she goes and sits and just talks to them. She doesn't wait to be asked. She just sees a need and she goes and she fills it. Mm-hmm. So I really love that about
I
you.
I try.
You do. Did your mom model that for you? Did you have somebody in your life that taught you that? Or is it just maybe what God's taught you from the Bible?
Just what God taught me to do.
I love that. And the hunger.
And I should do more. I want to do more.
So that's the thing about Maria that cracks me up is every time when I preach a message, she feels like it's directly all to her, and she'll be like, I need to do this. I need to do that. I'm like, well, you're 90. You already do a lot. Maria, I did not mean to say that you need to do any more than you're doing. This woman is incredible. But do you see her heart is like, but I want to do more. But I want to do more. How can I help? How can I help? How can I serve? And I feel like God really honors that. I feel like God has really blessed you because of that heart.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful. So hard worker. I love that. But like I said before, you've experienced some severe loss. And we've talked about how Mother's Day is not easy for all of us because some of us have, our moms are in heaven. Some wanted to have children but don't. Some lost children. Some have bad relationships with mother or with child. So Mother's Day can be kind of awkward, if I'm being honest. Like, I know it's fun for some people, but for a lot of people, it's just kind of uncomfortable. But you have dealt with some loss in your life.
Yes.
And I want to hear about how you got through to the other side, because it's clear that it was devastating loss. And I think that a lot of us, I mean, you had every reason to just hide in your room and not leave, but you didn't do that. What'd you do?
I searched for a way to grieve with someone else, but I had to ask for a grief support group. And the nun at St. Robert's told me, yes, I know where you can go. And she gave me the phone number, and I went, and it was right there in the park. There was the Episcopal Church, I think, it's mm-hmm. there. And that's where they held the meeting with all these people that lost someone that needed help. And that's where I went for the first time, 5 weeks, and another when I lost my first husband, and then another 5 weeks when my sister died, because I was devastated. I just couldn't believe it that my niece had 5 surgery and she lost the baby in that accident, and my sister lost her life. So that was a terrible loss, and even worse than when I lost my first husband. So I got some help by listening to all these people that lost someone, some of them their children, or, you know, and everyone had some sad story. And so I said, I'm not alone. I can keep going. And the Bible was my comfort always from the very beginning. And I still read every morning. If I don't read every morning, I get, you know, that my day is not going well. And
I like
that's what I do. I read a lot of devotional, and that's what pulled me through. And then when it was such a happy occasion when I met my second husband in church. I knew
here
his wife.
This church. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Yep. I knew his wife that was coming to Bible study at St. Dunstan. Alice used to bring her. And unfortunately, she was suffering from depression. And Alice tried to do the best to get her close God that she could. She was always studying the Bible. As a matter of fact, I found so many Bibles in this house.
Wow.
I got a happy time choosing which one I want. I have about 8 of them at home.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of Bibles.
I gave a couple
you
of
them. You gave some of them away.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I did the best I could to help myself to not to show my children that I was grieving, and then the second time again, and the third time I was in this church, and the church, some of them, they knew me. She's not here. Oh, there she is. She knows me.
Yeah.
So, when I lost my husband, she knew my second husband.
I like how you said that you had gotten to a place where you were like in tears constantly, and you were like, I need help. I will reach out and get help.
Yes.
I think that that is amazing, because most of the time, whatever we're going through that's not right, we just kind of muddle through and we kind of just accept it like it's fine. Anybody else like that? You know? And Maria, the reason that she is healed and whole and able to do all the things that she does even to this day is because she didn't stay trapped. Like, she reached out.
I reached out, yes.
She reached out, and she showed up. She reached out, and she showed up.
Whether it was the Holy Spirit that led me or whatever it was, that helped me a lot.
Yeah, because her story could have been very different had she not done that. You know? And so I think that we need to recognize a couple of things. One is the importance of being in God's word on a regular basis and reaching out to him, even when we don't understand what's going on, right? Keep doing it. There's something to be said for a disciplined life. This woman has a very disciplined life. And so you want to sustain your life and have good, healthy patterns, you need to be consistent about them. That's what I see from her. I see consistency. And I don't think that you have to have it all figured out, but you keep doing it day by day, day by day, day by day. And be faithful in those small things. I want to close with this thought about Ruth. Okay, so the idea really of Ruth is... We could miss it, I think. I mean, sure, on the one hand, we could say it's about a really faithful woman, right? And Ruth is a very faithful woman. And so for in the Bible, for God to just kind of highlight a really special woman who showed up, you know, for her mother-in-law and was faithful, I think that's pretty cool. And I think that that's worth honoring and celebrating. But there's this idea in the book of Ruth that's mentioned many times, and it's about the kinsman redeemer, all right? So Ruth goes, and she's gleaning the leftovers from that relative's field, Boaz's field, and what was going on there was that Boaz could be her kinsman redeemer. And in the book of Ruth, there's only 85 verses, four chapters, 85 verses in the whole book. But do you know how many times the word redeemer is mentioned? 23 times. Redeemer, redeemer, redeemer. All right. And so the redeemer, the kinsman redeemer, that's a person that could literally solve the problem that Naomi and Ruth had. They had no family. They had no one to care for them. They were, you know, impoverished. And if this distant relative that could be the kinsman redeemer would decide to marry Ruth, then they would be redeemed. They would have the family. They would have everything that they needed. And so when Ruth reaches out to Boaz and he says, well, there's actually one other that could be it. And so we need to reach out to this other guy first. He's a little bit closer family. And this guy says, no, no thanks. And so Boaz does it. Do you know why the other guy didn't want to do it? Because being the kinsman redeemer is kind of an interesting thing. He would actually give up his name. Do you know what I'm saying by that? Like he would marry Ruth. Yes, but he would not get to have children with his name. The children would have the name of Ruth's first husband, because what he was doing was redeeming what was lost. He was redeeming it. And so what Boaz did was, it was like really a sacrifice, I would say. A significant sacrifice. And he says, I'm going to do that for you. And so he would carry on the family name. And And here's the thing about God, like nothing is an accident. It's so cool about this is that Boaz does this, but Boaz and Ruth have a child named Obed. Are you guys familiar with the name Obed? Obed is the grandfather of the future king of Israel, David. And you know what also was going on? Right before the book of Ruth, the last verse actually in the book of Judges, there was a problem that Israel had, and it was that they didn't have a king. It says in Judges 21, verse 25, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Israel needed a king, right? And the king that God had designed for Israel was David. So nothing is by accident. And this seemingly very ordinary story about a woman named Ruth, who's, you know, it seems like just a little tiny story in the Bible, like not that significant, but it's very significant. Very significant because God was doing something. It says in Psalm 68:6, he puts the lonely in families, right? He gave Ruth and Naomi a family. He redeemed what Israel needed in the form of a king, right? And David is from that line, right? But beyond that is Jesus. Jesus came, and he is the ultimate kinsman redeemer because he was fully man, so kinsman, right? Human like us, kinsman, but our redeemer, and he redeemed us once for all, right? And so this very small story about a very ordinary little woman. I just called her little. I don't know if she was little, but I think she was a little woman. This ordinary little woman that was extraordinary for the kingdom of God and her obedience to what God was tugging on her heart to do. She listened and she obeyed and she went to that unknown place, that uncomfortable place. She obeyed, she listened, she went, and what do the people end up with? A redeemer. And we all get to experience redemption with God through Jesus, in part because of what this woman did and her obedience. Actually, I've also been told that Boaz's mom was Rahab. And if you look in the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, you will see that Rahab, the one that was a prostitute that helped out the spies that were going into Jericho, that she's also a part of that line. And so you think that you've messed up. You think you're too broken. You are not too broken for God to be a part of what God wants to do. So I think that this story should be like ultimate encouragement for us that God always has a plan, that he always has a purpose. And ultimately, he puts the lonely in families that we all get to be a part of the family of God. So it doesn't matter whether you have a great relationship with an earthly mother right now or not. It doesn't matter about any of that. What matters is that you are a part of the family of God. You have this open invitation to join. And we get to experience wholeness and healing as we spend time in God's word, as we lean into community, right? We go to the Connect group. We go to the Bible study. Like, we lean in. This is Maria Zooms. She Zooms and joins our Bible study or our prayer meeting. Like, she participates. And she could say, oh, I already know it all. I've read the Bible 100 times. But she doesn't approach it that way. She says, God, what do you want to teach me today? How do you want to grow me today? I want to grow. And so please be reminded today of your significance. Your story, your life has significance. Little choices that you make of obedience today will reap eternal benefits in the future. I believe that with all of my heart. So I would say, do not become weary or tired. We just read that scripture on Tuesday. Because you will reap a harvest when you don't give up. And so my encouragement to you today is if you're a woman that wants that feels a little worn down, or maybe you feel like maybe I've done things the wrong way, or did I mess up, or am I enough? You are enough, because God's Spirit inside of you is more than enough. Lean into Him. And if you are a man, then I would say be encouraged, and don't be afraid of maybe humbling yourself at times to be able to be a part of God's story and what He wants to do. So I want to invite Kyle and Bianca back up to lead us in that resurrecting song again. Thank you so much, Maria. Can we all give Maria a hand for sharing with us today? You are a beautiful blessing. You got it? Okay. Thank you so much. And I want to just invite us to reflect on this idea of God, our Redeemer. And it doesn't matter what broken thing you've had in your life. The song is, "The resurrected King is resurrecting me." That means that He's taking the broken and the dead spots in our life where we thought, oh, it can't be whole again. I can't feel whole again, or I can't ever be free of that thing, or whatever the case may be. This is your moment where you get to have some hope, because of what we're taught from Ruth is that God is a God of hope. He's a God of redemption, and He wants to redeem in each and every one of us the things that the enemy has tried to take from us, the areas where we have maybe, like Maria, experienced great loss. Like I said, there could be things that you're bound up by, patterns and character things that you know God wants to deal with. And I want to just remind you today that God's freedom is for all of us. His redemption is for all of us. And so let's just lean in. And as we worship, just ask God, like, what do you want to do in me, God? Where do you want me to be more obedient to you? Where are you wanting to bring me to some freedom? Where are you wanting me to be more consistent, God? Because that's what I want to be. I want to be like you, Jesus.